Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon.
Hello, David. It's good
Hello,
to be back.
Tim. Yes, marvellous. Yeah, fantastic. Lovely.
We've had such a faff getting to this. We've had about 10 minutes of technological faff. Mostly, hang on, entirely down to you.
It was down to me. I couldn't get my phone to plug into my computer without the phone doing that thing that sometimes happens, that happens to you, whereby it charges and then stops charging and then charges and stops charging. I was worried that was making a noise, a kind of warm, a sort of electronic heartbeat noise. And then I had to go outside to get something to charge my phone, and the handle of the door fell off. And I thought, well, that's it now. I'm stuck here forever. and we can't record the podcast even. But then I did manage to get out. Then I did something which I was quite happy about, which is one of the things about lockdown is I've done some quite manly things in lockdown. Mm. For example, yesterday or the day before, I borrowed my neighbour's power hose to wash my car. I think I did say this on Twitter, but it's finally happened. Lockdown has made me non-Jewish.
is washing like, your car... Which bit of that is non-Jewish, would you say? All of it? Or
any kind of manual labour is essentially non-Jewish.
Right.
And talking to your neighbours is quite... I'm Jewish. He's a lovely bloke, don't get me wrong. He may even be Jewish. He's American, so probably.
Okay, so it's not, because I know one of your neighbours, we don't need to...
No, it's not her.
She is Jewish, but it's the other side.
I live in a ghetto, that's what we're saying. it's the other side, and he's a bloke.
Can I just test you on the non-Jewish thing, because there's a guy, there's a guy, Simon Kellner, who...
I know who he is.
Yeah, who used to be the editor of The Independent, so... said he was going to compile a book which is about the most non-Jewish things you could do.
Yeah.
And he said that number one was going to an air show.
No, I've been to an air show. Okay. And I'm the litmus paper of all things Jewish.
Okay, so that's not...
Although my wife is Catholic and from Cornwall, and that's where we went to the air show.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's pretty non-Jewish. I agree with Simon. Well, I don't know if it's the most non-Jewish thing, really. I would say borrowing your neighbour's power hose.
Did that go?
Obviously, being Jewish, it took me at least the first 7 times of trying it out to get it wrong and not understand it, because he sort of brought it around in kind of like, you'll work it out.
Right.
And I know I don't work. I'm not going to work it out. I'm going to get it completely wrong. And also, I have to untangle my garden hose to attach it to the power hose.
So this is like a jet wash type thing.
Yeah, it's a jet wash type thing. And the point of it is that it makes washing your car into a kind of arcade game. So basically what it is like it's a sort of Hoover-like thing that you attach to your tap via your garden hose. It fills the Hoover-like thing with water continuously from your hose. And then from the Hoover-like thing, which is electronic, you've got to plug it in, you then have a gun, like a water gun.
Right.
And you could spray that on your car. And because of lockdown, so this is relevant, lockdown, I don't know if you found this, my car has been in the same place more often than it usually is. Unlike Dominic Cummings, I chose not to take it out for any day trips or to test my eyesight.
And it's
all covered in bird shit. And it's what you want to sort that out, especially when car washes are not available, is a... jet gun, power hose jet gun. And you can aim it at the bird shit and it becomes, you know, there was a comedian who used to talk about this called Igor Thompson, so I'm going to nick his material. And it's slightly gross, but I'm going to say it anyway, which is he talked once about being someone who always pisses off, I don't mean emotionally, actually uses his piss to piss off little smears of shit
okay.
on the toilet bowl
wow.
when he's doing a piss.
I see.
That is observational comedy. I think all men do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly have done it. If I see a smear of shit and I'm not getting the brush out of the bowl, which I'm often not, I use the jet to, and I aim the jet using my hands and my penis to get rid of the smear of shit, right? To slowly using the urine to get rid of it. And it's a very similar process. Although I have to say, given my prostate, not as quite as powerful. It's not as powerful as the power hose and the bird.
Well, maybe you'd remove it over a number of months, perhaps.
Drip. Yeah. And it would take me quite... Rob Brydon
says... How long do you think it would take to piss away a toilet?
Well, an entire toilet?
Yeah, like... Or...
That's not the question. I think the question is, if I could interrupt, the question you should ask... And this is something that people should have said to journalists yesterday in the Rose Garden. By the way, I should say this is being recorded the day after Dominic Cummings' press conference. The question you should have asked is, how long would it take to clean your car of bird shit using piss from your penis?
Right.
And I would say much longer. Because, I mean, than using the power hose.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, for a start, as I say, because of my age and prostate, I can't get the same pressure going. Secondly, I'd have to stand... naked, basically, or certainly with my penis out, on top of my car. Not just on top of it, all around my car to do it.
Yeah.
I think it would take years and years. And also what I'd be doing is covering my car in piss. Which is stupid because I'm trying to get the shit off it.
But at least it's yours.
That's true.
Which I'm assuming the shit isn't, right? Or is it?
No, it's bird shit, yeah.
But I'm so bad at practical things and I don't think them through that I can imagine doing that, saying to Pip and my wife, oh, I've managed to piss away most of the bird shit. And she says, you do realise you've pissed over your whole car. And I think, oh God, that's a good point. I wouldn't think about that.
No, you'd have to borrow your neighbour's power hose to get rid of the piss smell. Man. Anyone younger, which is nobody, apart from possibly Bella, and she's a woman, listening to this, it does take a longer time to get going as you get older. And the jet is lesser.
When you did the jet wash on the car...
Using the hose, not my cock.
The jet... No, definitely. I was very clear about what I was talking about. Did you, like, imagine it was a gun, and did you play a little bit of shooting up, you know...
Yes.
It's hard not to,
totally.
Isn't it?
No, totally. The reason I mentioned all this is that I was only able to plug in my telephone because I also have bought. I bought a long extension, not to my penis, but too many references to my penis in this podcast.
I think we're going to assume we're not talking about your penis unless we're really explicitly say it. Let's just assume that.
I brought an incredibly long electrical plug extension, which is actually, I mean, get this, because I've decided to mow the garden.
Wow.
I know. Again, I have done that in lockdown.
Jesus, how long is the grass?
The grass isn't that long, but the bit that we have AstroTurf at the front of our garden.
Okay.
And then in the back of our garden, there's actual grass. So I need a long extension lead to get there.
Right.
With the lawnmower. Do you see?
Yeah.
So I bought that, and that has allowed me to plug my phone in to do this podcast, which is why I mentioned it in the first place. But that is that, and the power hose are the great male, you know, non-Jewish things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
But I've been doing.
So in that sense, lockdown has expanded your, you know, it's been a life, you know, you've learned some life lessons.
It does make it fun though, you're right. It makes it fun. Yeah, washing your car, it makes it fun. I tell you, the other thing it does do is, and I don't know what the lockdown regulations are about this, but people passing you on the street, because I don't have a drive, so the cars are on the street, they get a bit worried. I think mainly that you're going to spray them. Because
are you with your penis?
No, I said.
Okay. Sorry.
We did this only 5 seconds ago. We said
I've forgotten what the rule was.
The rule was explicit. That's what Dominic said. Explicit mention of my penis is the only thing that would
got it.
By the way, while we're talking about Dominic Cummings, I should say this podcast takes a little while to be edited. So it normally goes out 3 or 4 days after we've recorded it, and it's entirely possible that by the time it goes out, everything will have changed in that scenario. But having said that, someone did say to me yesterday that you look a bit like Dominic Cummings. Now, I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, it's funny. No, it's funny you say that because I went to, I think I told you, swimming yesterday.
Barnard Castle.
Just, I think it was that. I squinted, and that's what it looked like. It. I went to the swimming yesterday, and I went in the morning of the Dominic Cummings Day, and without thinking about it.
Is it actually called Dominic Cummings Day now?
I think it was. Which, yeah, that was the most interesting thing about it.
Yeah,
I wore a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Good. And my glasses, and I hadn't shaved, and my hair was at a certain, and someone said to me, "You look quite Dominic Cummings."
Right.
And I think I see the resemblance. The most striking thing for me about it was how like Morrissey he is. I really felt he had a sort of similar softness to his voice.
Right.
A similar sort of shyness.
Shyness combined with an incredibly strong sense of high self-esteem.
High self-esteem, right wing. I really thought it was a Morrissey moment, but more important than Dominic Cummings is this Coke I'm drinking.
Oh, okay.
In my view, because I'm about to finish it and I just want to show you it because I've got, as you can see, a pint glass full of it. From the moment, I don't really drink Diet Coke very much, but I felt quite hot today and I felt like I needed to sort of thirst.
Yeah.
Quencher. So I got this Diet Coke and I filled the glass with ice and got Diet Coke, which is room temperature.
Yeah.
The ice basically melted away very quickly. The Coke has gone, from the beginning of this whole pint has been flat and sort of slightly chilled, but not. And is remarkably drinkable, but what I'm basically drinking is flat, slightly lower than room temperature vegetable juice,
Was it fizzy when you put it in the pint?
Yeah, but it just went immediately.
Yeah, well, actually, you have drawn your attention to a bugbear of mine there. I'm glad you brought this up, because I assume you, being a man of means, have an ice maker. Do you have an ice maker?
I don't actually, no. I don't know. We have a freezer.
Where do you get the ice from? A freezer. But you can't press a glass against any kind of... All right,
no,
we've got that. Okay. And since we've had that, I've quite a lot thought, oh, I want a cold drink. I haven't put this Coca-Cola or lemonade in the fridge. It's just here on the shelf. I can make it cold. Hooray, by my ice maker. So I fill a glass with ice, rather like you did. And then I put the fizzy drink in the glass. But then what happens is it goes non-fizzy, because fizzy drink, somehow, when you don't get it from a pub, which, of course, we're not allowed to go to now. I don't remember this happening in a pub. But home, when I put a lot of ice in a glass and then pour it in a fizzy drink, it sort of doesn't matter how fizzy it was when it came out of the bottle. It just goes flat. I think the ice, because the ice is flat. I don't mean... The ice isn't fizzy.
The ice, but neither is a lemon. But that doesn't make it go flat. I don't think it's the flatness, is it?
Yes.
Or you think it's diluting it?
Well, there's not enough lemon. Unless you put a lot of lemon in to really make that different. But I put quite a lot of ice in.
Okay.
Partly because I think that's what they do in pubs. It sort of annoys me in pubs.
Right.
Like they always, I always want to say, look, I didn't ask for a Coca-Cola, a glass of ice with a Coca-Cola top. I didn't ask for that. I asked for Coca-Cola. And I would have thought in pubs it comes out of the tap cold anyway.
But
I bet it does. But they're always...
Yeah, do you think?
They're always putting lots of ice in glasses, in pubs, because it cuts down the amount of Coca-Cola that you're drinking, which is good for them.
Yeah, they're charging for water. I suppose there's... but also they do that syrupy thing, which I think... I always think they sort of want to dilute it a bit because it's quite unpleasant. You know, the syrup... In a pub, the Coca-Cola that comes from a pump...
Is it syrupy?
Yeah, it's made of syrup. It's not actually...
It's made of syrup.
Well, what I mean is, they haven't got a massive vat of fizzing Coke under the stairs in the pub, have they?
I had no idea. Oh, this is another outrage. I had no really.
Of course not. Where would they keep it?
Well, hang on. How is it fizzy then?
It's fizzy because they. If you look at the pump quite close up,
I never have.
They can switch the buttons to sort of Sprite. What else is there? Tizer?
Coca-Cola.
No, not Tizer.
Dr. Pepper.
Pepper.
Lucozade.
Lucozade.
Iron
Lucozade.
Brew.
Not Iron Brew. Well, yeah, in Scotland.
Why?
Well, okay, Iron Brew. Just give me one other thing, because I'm annoyed.
We are sitting here trying
Fanta.
To figure out the fizzy drink.
Fanta. Okay.
Very unlikely, but
and
yes.
Coke.
Tango.
And Coke. And they can flick the button. And the reason they can do that, I think, is because it just accesses a different syrup. It's not like if you followed the wire down, there'd be eight vats of fizzy. Like, when you open a pub, it's not like we need a massive cellar if we're going to do fizzy drinks.
Is that right?
Yes.
Where's the water coming from? Because it's fizzy water. It's not.
Yeah, it's
water.
Like spot. Yeah, but it's like it's not. It's fizzy tap water, isn't it? No, I don't think that's true.
Where'd you get fizzy tap water from?
I think it's fizzy. It's what do you call the fizzy?
What's that thing?
What
do you call fizzy water that isn't water?
No, the fizzy water that isn't actually water, but is soda water. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but that has to be in a big barrel, doesn't it?
What is soda water?
Well, hang on. When I was a kid, and we've actually got one now, but we don't use it. Some people had a soda stream. You know what stream is?
Yeah.
So when I was young, and you might be slightly too young, being 3 years younger than me, to quite remember these times. But when I was young, a fizzy drink was like the most incredible thing ever. Like that was all you really wanted because it wasn't squash.
Yeah.
It wasn't depressing squash. And so then when I realised that there were some people, I think the Glasses in Swansea had one in their caravan at the Mumbles Beach, who had a soda stream. Which meant on tap, fizzy drink, fizzy whatever. I just thought that was essentially the gates of paradise.
Yes.
Now, it's not, because apart from anything, soda streams don't make a drink that fizzy. Sorry, soda stream, if you're listening, but they don't. But is that what you're saying pubs have? They have tap water. It goes through a soda stream. It fizzes up the water. Then there's the syrups. And then there's your drink. Because I never knew any of that.
Yeah, I'm mostly saying that. I don't know if it's definitely syrup. You can tell if you had a, if you went into a pub and had what's it called? It's not a tin,
bottle,
a can.
Bottle,
well,
can.
Okay. Yeah, can or bottle. Yeah.
Tin would have been fine.
A tin of Coke. Yeah. And you tried that next to what comes out of the pump. It'd be very different. And the one out of the pump is almost vanilla-y. It's got that slightly vanilla, slightly syrupy taste. And that's because they use a syrup and, this is the bit I'm struggling on as to whether it's fizzy water or soda water. I'm not really sure what soda water is, but fizzy mixer. That's
anyway, look, I began this podcast just before we sat there. I thought, right, because last time we didn't talk about Bowie at all. I thought, I'm going to come up with some interesting Bowie facts. Quite early doors, I'm going to mention Bowie. And now we've spent 20 minutes talking about my penis and whether or not pubs have syrup stored underneath the bar. Despite being dead, you can, of course, Google David Bowie, news Google David Bowie.
Okay.
There'll still be some news about him every day.
Yeah, right.
So I thought, well, we could basically do that before every podcast. Okay, what's the news about David Bowie?
Yeah.
And I did that, and there are two news stories about David Bowie. Now, unfortunately, one of them is in the Daily Telegraph. And the Daily Telegraph is subscription only.
Right.
And I am not prepared, certainly considering that I don't get paid for this podcast. So I just read the headline, really. It's titled Michael Jackson, Monty Python and Bowie's Trousers, The Chaotic Making of Labyrinth.
Wow.
Now, because I can only get immediately, you get your exclusive offer, just £1 per month for the first 3 months to join the Telegraph, right? And I mean, I don't want the Telegraph anyway. Mm. You know, I don't want the Daily Telegraph.
No.
So I just have to guess really what that's about. What I can make out from the first couple of lines, which I'm allowed to read, is it's something to do with magic dance. A song that came up a little while ago when we discussed Bowie and curry, what a Bowie curry could be called. And a few people suggested something we didn't think of, which was magic dance.
Of course,
I don't really know magic dance very well, but apparently there's a baby gurgling in it. And this story, I don't know what it's to do with his trousers, but the story is something to do with Bowie having to hold up a baby to get the gurgling right.
Oh, in the recording of it, right.
Yes. Do you know this story?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay.
And I mean, but also involving Michael Jackson, this is all the same story.
Well, I'm very much hoping that Michael Jackson is not involved with the baby.
Well, he's held a baby before, Michael Jackson. He's got form, hasn't he?
That's true. In fact, my son said to me the other day, is he dead? that baby, the blanket, that Michael Jackson held right. over the balcony. Is he called Blanket still? I think he was only really called Blanket for that moment.
I can't remember, but is he dead? He's not dead though, right? Or
I don't think he's dead. No, I know he's not dead because in my show, someone, Michael Jackson fan who got furious with me for talking about Finding Neverland, losing Neverland, that documentary, said that I would run the other way if I was faced with any of Michael Jackson's three children. And I did a joke about how if I did that, I would definitely move the other way, but I would do it moonwalking. So they wouldn't even know whether I was moving towards them or going away. But that three children implies to me that Blanket is still with us.
Yeah,
but he may not be called. I suspect he's not called Blanket anymore.
Yeah, I
tell you what. I'm going to Google what happened. What happened to Blanket Jackson? What happened to Blanket Jackson? Comes up. Oh, hang on. Really? No, he's called Biggie now.
Okay, Biggie. Much better.
Born Prince Michael Jackson II and nicknamed Blanket by his father. It's quite a recent news story about him that he bought a house for $2.6 million.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the interesting thing about him, Biggie, is he was called Blanket. Like he was given a nickname one incident, which in itself is a bit weird.
You know, well, I don't know. I think that's... Isn't that how nicknames come about?
I think normally it's a... No, I would say the most normal nickname is a condition of being. So Lofty in EastEnders, he was always tall. He wasn't tall just for a moment.
I had a friend at university called Matthew Hibbert. He was a mathematician. He came with me to a club in Bristol in 1985 called the Tropic Club, which was a sort of trendy student club.
Yes.
And he wore like a vest top.
A sort of Freddie Mercury vest.
I suppose a bit Freddie, although that was a vest, wasn't it? That was a vest, I think. Was it a vest?
Well, I didn't say it like it wasn't a vest. That's a strange thing you said, because I said like a Freddie Mercury vest. You went, well, I think that was a vest. I'm like, yeah. I didn't say, you know what I mean, Freddie Mercury, inverted commas, vest. Yeah, it's a vest.
No, but what I mean is, I'm trying not to say he wore a vest, because he didn't wear a vest, and Freddie Mercury, that looked like a vest.
Right.
I think
it's definitely a vest.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas my friend Matthew wore, I think it was Matthew Hibbert wore a yellow thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that since that moment, he was called Vest and still is called Vest. Someone mentioned him the other day and said, have you seen Vest?
Right.
And that was a blanket type moment. It was once. He didn't wear it regularly or...
Right. Yes. No, so, I get that. Okay. So I suppose they can be of two. Yeah. Either it's a condition of being like Lofty.
Or it's a moment.
Or it's a moment like Vest or Blanket. Although I wonder if Blanket himself doesn't really like the nickname. Because, I mean, in terms of nicknames, you know, it's famously Paul Ince, the footballer, gave himself a nickname. He wanted to be called, I think, the Gaffer. And he told everyone at Man United...
Well, the Governor, was it?
The Governor. Anyway. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He told everyone at Man United that he was called the Governor. Which, by the way, that's another thing. If you're going to give yourself a nickname, which itself is naff, I think it has to be a low status, self-deprecating nickname. And Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson.
Right.
Is that a nickname? Was that his real name?
Like Magic might have been his actual name, but it can't possibly.
I've just checked. His name is Irvin Magic, as in inverted commas, Johnson. So, yeah, but he was probably called that because he was a very good basketball player. So,
of course.
That's
he could have been called West, I would think, but that probably wouldn't single him out from all the others. But we've talked. If you want to do a. If you want to. I mean, this is a bit.
I tell you what I do want to do.
Yeah.
Is listen to Magic Dance, which, by the way, nothing to do with Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And hear the gurgling baby in it. So to at least tie this together in some way. Baby said. Okay, it's too embarrassing to sit here listening to it when you can't hear it. It's got a lot about baby in it, but in a kind of, you know, pop star way.
Okay, I've got a bit of detail on it.
Okay, which, good.
Which makes
is it better detail than the one about pubs?
It's not so syrup based, is what I would say.
Okay, fine. Go for it.
There was a tiny Bowie stored under the bar that would... No. I still got... My abiding memory of this podcast is the notion that you thought there were lakes of fizzy drinks under pubs.
Barrels, not lakes.
No, but...
They were all stored... I thought they were stored in barrels, like I imagine the beer is.
I think what makes Magic Dance even more intriguing, now you've mentioned it, is that having looked it up, and maybe this is the Bowie had a real baby to make the gurgle sounds.
Yes, yes.
But the real baby wouldn't perform.
Yeah.
So Bowie performs the baby gurgles.
Oh.
It's Bowie doing the baby noises.
What did Bowie do to try and get the baby to gurgle?
Well, apparently he held it. It just says on, I mean, I'm only going on Wikipedia, not on the more specialised Bowie sites, but he held it up to the microphone and it wouldn't perform. And by the way, that he probably wasn't, well, actually he was a father then, but anyone would know that babies don't, they rarely sort of gurgle. It's quite a rarity, a gurgling baby, isn't it? I would say.
It's true. I mean, there's a lot about babies in it. Then baby said, dance, magic, dance. It also, by the way, says slap that baby, make him free. I mean,
wow.
I'm worried about that.
That's doesn't age well, does it? Let's put it that way.
Doesn't age well, unless, of course, you're specifically talking about the moment of birth, when sometimes
I
don't know if they do this anymore. Yeah, when they give breath, but do they even do that anymore?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think they do. We had three cesareans. Would that be different from the sort of?
So did we. Well, we had two. So
right.
Three would have been weird because we got two children.
But
very weird to go for one without actually having.
Whatever did happen to that? One of our babies they put under a sort of toaster.
Sorry, did you say one of your babies they put under a toaster?
Yeah, Otis was a little tiny bit blue. I don't mean depressed about what was coming.
No.
I mean, like, actually literally blue. His blood wasn't quite oxygen, whatever it is, oxygen wasn't quite flowing. And so rather than slap him, they didn't do that. They put him on like one of those grills you use when you're camping, like a sort of...
Really?
Like a tray that went under a heat light and warmed him up. And then he was fine after a sort of minute.
That does remind me of something extremely gross. I'm afraid I'm going to bring it up. Because my son showed me, my son, who is a teenager now, as is Otis, showed me a video. Like we wanted, like, our son, it's quite hard to get our son to watch stuff that we might all want to watch together.
Right.
If we don't do that, he just stays playing video games. So he said, oh, no, you can choose what we're going to watch. And he showed us a video about a Japanese cannibal. A cannibal who's Japanese, who killed a German woman, ate her, and actually never went to prison for it. But the reason I bring it up is it led to a sort of interest in cannibalism, not in actually doing it, but in the history of cannibalism. And me, him, and my daughter were investigating the story about that German. Do you remember about 10 years ago?
I do.
A German bloke ate someone who had actually asked to be eaten.
That was
the story.
And
it's a very interesting thing philosophically because apparently, I didn't know this, he was originally convicted of manslaughter. And then it was redrawn about 5 years later as murder, even though the guy had asked to be killed because he'd got sexual gratification out of it. Anyway, the thing I wanted to bring up which you may or may not remember about it, is they cut off the man's penis. Sorry to bring up the word penis again, but it's, at least it's not my penis. They cut off the man's penis, and then the bloke, the guy who was being eaten, suggested that they eat it together. That's what he wanted. Jesus. But here's the thing that is really weird, right? He cut off the man's penis, he fried it, and then they couldn't eat it because he burnt it. Now, I have been known to forget that I've put a bit of chicken in the oven and it's been burnt. I've been known to do that.
Yeah.
But I think under the very specific, very unusual circumstances of having cut off a man's penis who's agreed that you should do that and eat his penis, how could you have forgotten it? How did they burn that? Surely were keeping a very close eye on it.
More to the point, not that I'm understanding their motivations at all in this, but it's not a gastronomic thing they're trying to do, is it? It's not like...
I think it is partly.
Surely it's the act of the... It's the sort of weird... the fact
that...
Well,
you say that. He cooked it with sort of onions and garlic, I think, and stuff. I think it was quite Hannibal Lecter-ish. I think maybe they're different things. Maybe I think for the guy being killed, it was a kind of weird suicide thing. And I think for the guy eating, it was more...
Yeah.
Sexual stroke gastronomic. But either way, I just think, given that this is something that you could never probably do again, I think it's a one take, isn't it? Eating someone like that. I think you'd be cooking it really carefully.
Well, what I think, fun enough, I remember that story and it's grotesque, but I do remember, you know, when you get an image and you think, well, that's not the sort of right first reaction to this. And then, of course, you think about it over time. But my first reaction was, and is now, when you say, I would worry about how you cook it in the middle. And
in the middle of what? Oh, in the middle of the sausage, penis.
Like a sausage. And
it
so
is like
a
sausage.
I think you have to be very careful not to have the heat on too high.
Yeah.
Because you would burn it because you'd be waiting for the middle to cook. Because
he didn't barbecue it. I think he used a frying pan.
But think about a sausage. If you're frying, you don't want your frying pan, if that's what... I mean, does anyone fry sausages anymore? I don't know.
I do.
Okay, well, you don't want it on full, do you? The heat on full with a sausage, because it'll just cook the outside.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what happened. I should say that this came to mind because you told me your son was put under a grill. I don't want to suggest that I want to eat your son. I don't want to eat your son. But it suggested to me...
I made that connection, to be honest.
When you said grill... I immediately imagine some kind of thing like George Foreman has.
Okay. You
know, that kind of grill. It wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't like that, but it was more like, in my mind, it was more like the ones you have when you're camping, which are slightly oblong looking things. And I don't think it was a grill, to be clear. It was at the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital, a modern London hospital. I don't think they would have...
But they warmed him up still. They weren't warming him up, him being blue.
Yeah, they warmed him up. And I wonder if one of the things that they used to do is slap them, and now they warm them up in a grill. now they grill them.
Sounds wrong. Whilst playing them, It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Bob Dylan.
In the room next to me, having a baby at the same time.
Yeah,
it's
George Foreman.
In...
Do you know how you knew? Because he named it George.
No, it wasn't George Foreman. I'm going to just give you... You're going to have to guess this. It's a simple guess. There's no particular skill involved. It was a member of Take That, and he...
Okay, this is interesting because a famous person was having a baby next door to the winner in the hospital I was in. And it was a Chelsea player. Let's see if we can guess these things. It was a Chelsea player, and I'm a Chelsea fan of the time, so I was quite excited about that. And he did come in, he did hold Dolly during the time that we were staying in hospital. So you would member of Take That.
I'm going to give you one guess.
It was not the top two, so I'm guessing it was neither Robbie nor Gary.
I'm not going to be drawn until you give an answer.
Oh, you're not going to give me any clues?
Okay, correct.
Correct, I'm not. Okay.
No,
I'll tell you how I can do this.
As in, it's not...
I'll show you how I can do it. Was it Robbie?
Was it Robbie?
Yeah.
No.
Was it Gary?
No, that's not a guess.
Was it Howard?
What's brilliant is you're going to say it last.
Was it Mark?
Yes.
It was Mark.
It was Mark Owen. Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now, this will take you longer. This will take you longer because Chelsea had a squad of about 30 players at the time.
No, and also, it's a little while ago and I'm not sure I could... Dennis Wise.
No, same period, but I'm going to give you a clue.
Yeah.
In fact, all Chelsea players, you know, obviously would have been quite wealthy even then because they were playing for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise that it was a private hospital, but it's quite a sort of bohemian private hospital. It wasn't the Portland. It was one of the more kind of bohemian, kind of hippie private hospitals. Does that help with the Chelsea player?
I didn't think a bohemian private, what sort of, like what? Yeah. Like, okay.
It was a bit more like the Portland, oh God, I mean, this sounds really cunty, but the Portland, where quite a lot of famous people have their babies, yeah. It's all quite kind of like champagne and, you know, high tech or whatever. This one is more birthing pools and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, I'm thinking of Graham Lasseau.
Correct. You see, it was a good clue. It was a really good clue.
Yeah. It was a really good clue because I'm sure you cover this on Fantasy Footballers, but he's the one that reads The Guardian and got A-levels, isn't he?
That's right.
That's what made, yeah.
That's why I went for the, you know, it's a bit hippie-ish. In fact, I think you'll find that Posh Spice had her baby at the Portland. So that's where David Beckham would have been. But Graham Lasseau. And I've got a picture somewhere of Graham Lasseau holding my child. So the other Barry thing, if you Google Barry at the moment, that is in the news, although frankly, it's in the news in kind of a weird way in that this happened in 1979. So I'm not sure. I think it's just in some new biography of someone. Is he had a fight with Lou Reed. And it's kind of an unusual fight in that, let's see if you can guess. So Lou Reed, I think, had just been on Hammersmith Odeon. And he met up with David and he wanted David to produce his next album. I think Barry produced it. Well, he obviously produced Transformer, but I think this was in 79. So
this is post,
So he wanted Barry to produce his next album.
Yeah.
And David said something, said, I will do it if... And Lou Reed got so incensed, he grabbed hold of David and threatened to beat him up.
Wow.
Grabbed him by the scruff, I mean, in a kind of cartoon way, according to this piece I read, actually grabbed him by the scruff of his shirt, pulled him across the table and held his fist to his face and said, why you, I order, or whatever.
Scruff of his neck, by the way. I don't think his shirt has a scruff.
Well,
I know
it's an interesting thing you say that, because the phrase scruff of his neck came to me. And then I thought, well, no, when that happens in real life or on EastEnders, it's not actually the neck they grab the collar of the shirt. But it's called, you say he grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, but it's never that would just be pinchy and horrible.
I'm not even sure that the scruff of the neck isn't the back of the neck. Is that like when, what animals pick up their young by the back? Is that not what it's
cats.
About? Like monkeys pick up, cats. Okay, cats pick up their kittens by the scruff of the neck?
Yeah, that's true. And they're never wearing a shirt.
Is that right? Because you know cats better. They never wear shirts.
Well, unless children, as a joke, have put a shirt on them.
Right, because I'm more of a dog person, so I don't know what the... But assuming... Yeah, no, I defer to you. The scruff of the neck maybe is actually 360 degrees, right? The scruff is the...
Well, there's no record of whether Lou Reed bit into the back of David's neck to carry him to a different part of the room. I don't think that happened, especially because I imagine his teeth were terrible. What do you think it was?
Okay, so was it...
Actually, that's a clue. Like, what I've just said is a clue.
Oh, what did you just say? I mean, I know what you said, but what bit?
Bit where I said, I imagine anyway, his teeth were terrible. So that's a clue, that bit.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Is it something to do with drugs?
Yes. Okay. David said, I will produce your next album. It's a really weird thing, given it's 1979, but I guess David must have just got clean. David said, if you clean up, if you stop taking drugs, stop drinking, just get healthy, then I'll produce your next album. It's kind of tough love from David. And Lou got so angry about this bit, tough love, he tried to hit him, which is amazing, isn't it?
I tell you what, Lou, if you're trying to look like you don't have a problem, that is, you've just ruined it. Because attacking him for suggesting that.
it's triggered possibly by too high drugs intake.
Do you think he attacked him because it's just an act? Why would you attack someone for saying that?
If you were taking a lot of cocaine, if you got to the point where David Bowie is saying to you, I really think you should cut down on your cocaine intake.
Yeah, yeah.
I suspect the level of cocaine is so high that almost anything that is said to you will lead you to say, what do you say? What? And get very angry and intense about it.
Bowie took a lot of drugs in Berlin. That's what I'm going to bring it back down to. That's the point. He didn't give up drugs in Berlin. So maybe when he's saying to Lou Reed, give up drugs, it's just properly pot calling the kettle black. That's ultimately what the fight would have been about, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted this, but maybe we'll save it till next time to go into a whole bit about who would have won that fight. Because the fight didn't actually happen. Oh. They were separated, blah, blah. They were still rowing, but they were separated. But I wanted to do a whole thing about who would have won a fist fight between two very thin, very racked, very on drugs and fucked men in 1979. It would have been a brilliant fight, I think, in some ways.
Bowie loved boxing. We know that. Yes, his
son,
has gone on, Duncan, talked about it. How he like, and of course on Let's Dance, he's actually posing as a boxer. I don't know how convincing he was as a boxer, but he was quite obsessed with it.
Bowie liked boxing, right? He was from Brixton. Yeah. He's a working class lad.
Yeah,
but Lou Reed is a kind of street New York druggy, leather suited. In an 80s film, he'd be hanging around on a street corner and we'd be a bit frightened of him. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't quite call it.
I think Bowie would be... no, I agree. I think I feel like British versus American is always like, well, the American will win. I feel a bit like that. It feels always they're just,
I think also, and I think we could possibly go out on this, I think also what might happen is it would be a bit Indiana Jones in the sense that David Bowie would get his boxing gloves out or assume the Queensbury rules pose, do quite a lot of setting himself up to sort of, hit him cleverly, blah, 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 and Lou Reed would just get a gun out and shoot him.
I do sometimes think about scenarios like, and this, the Bowie-Lou Reed thing, and maybe some of our many listeners would like to think about this, is what would it be like if you had a fight between London and New York, for example?
There's that fight.
That's right. But what if you... No, but I mean, like, the two cities together. Like, and you fought...
Well, the whole of the two cities fighting in a kind of medieval football match way.
To the death. Who would win that? I sort of feel New York, just because, again, America. But I don't know.
Very good question.
Londoners are quite wily, quite resourceful. I'm not running for mayor or anything.
No. Although I think you'd get quite a lot of votes if you did run for mayor under the slogan, we're the hardest city in the world.
Right. Because do you think it follows that in Britain, if you did London versus Manchester, if you did it in rounds to find out...
One assumes that Northerners would beat London.
I think you assume that, but I don't...
Glasgow, definitely.
Glasgow versus Manchester...
Then it stops because I think probably most cities could beat the Shetland Islands.
But what about Liverpool versus Manchester, for example, in a massive fight?
I think
fight?
That's a draw. In a massive fight, that's a draw. Okay. Anyway.
Wow, you seem really clear about the results.
I'm sort of on the polls panel for this. we better go because it's been very long. And one thing we should say, I'm going to mention this, is that Bella Whelan, who is the producer of this podcast, is just doing this presently out of the goodness of her heart because she is furloughed and doesn't need to be doing this. So she just is taking time out from her doing nothing in order to do this. So we do appreciate that. We should stop so that she can go back to doing nothing.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
I wonder if, as a final thought, we could ask Bella. Yeah. I'm not making light of furlough or anything because it's a terrible thing. But Bella, you've been with us long enough now to spot that furlough has a David Bowie album in that word. Do you know what it is?
She doesn't.
You see, this is what I worry about.
I do not
Bella
know.
Bella actually
doesn't.
Our producer doesn't listen to a single word we've been saying.
So she's been on this podcast for almost 3 years and doesn't know the answer to that question. But I think that's good. I think that's good.
What is the answer?
The answer is fur.
Or maybe low.
Yeah, it's low. All right. Let's go. Thank you, Bella.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening, Bella.
Thank you, listeners.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.